Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. I'd like to welcome you to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Joseph Lamb.
Thank you, Stacy, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Configuring WebSphere Adapter for File Transfer Protocol using WebSphere Transformation Extender. The session is scheduled to be an hour in length, but might extend to an hour and a half for the presentation and for the Q&A period. If you have not yet joined the web conference, please do so now. The web conference address is available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Today's webcast will include an online presentation. Once you're in the web conference, you will see the presentation. If you are unable to access the web conference at this time, please go to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site and click on today's presentation title. The document that displays will contain the PDF file. You can also obtain a copy of the presentation by visiting the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange program on Twitter. The address is www.twitter.com/IBMWSTE. This call is being recorded, so you can replay at your convenience. Early next week, the MP3 file along with the presentation will be available on the Previous Webcast tab of the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions. At the end of today's session, the lines will open for a question-and-answer period. And for those of you who join us through the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat. Precedence will be given to questions asked through the telephone. And if time permits, we will also address questions in the group chat. Today's presenters are Alice Reyes, Ken Amelio, and Greg McCaffrey. Alex joined the Adapter team in 2008. In this capacity, he is responsible for resolving issues related to WebSphere Adapter for File Transfer Protocol. Alex also has system admin expertise in AIX, Linux, Unix, and Windows environment. Ken has been a WebSphere Adapter support engineer since the adapters were first introduced in 2005. He has supported the WebSphere adapters on a variety of platforms, including the WebSphere Transformation Extender. He works closely with users of the WebSphere adapters to provide users with support and to identify and address defects in the product set. Greg has provided customer support for the WebSphere Transformation Extender product since 1999. He joined IBM in 2005 as part of the Accenture software acquisition and has served in his current role as team lead since 2006. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Alex, Ken, and Greg.
Thank you, Joseph. This is Ken Amelio, again, with the WebSphere Adapter L2 support team. As Joseph was saying, we're going to be presenting about the WebSphere Adapter for FTP using WebSphere Transformation Extender. We will be focusing primarily on the incoming functionality for the adapter, since that adds something significantly different to the WebSphere Transformation Extender functionality, specifically the ability to fire off maps from a file transfer protocol source, allowing you to place a file in the incoming FTP adapter event folder and have that automatically start the processing of a WebSphere Transformation Extender map. Joseph, can you please switch to slide number 2, please? We already talked about the background of myself, Alex, and Greg. Alex and I, again, are from the adapter perspective and support these adapters across a number of different brokers, including one of folks on today, WebSphere Transformation Extender. Greg has a great deal of experience with WebSphere Transformation Extender, and we'll be talking about how the adapter ties in closely to Transformation Extender. We'll also briefly talk about the benefits before Alex will talk about the overview of the inbound on WebSphere Adapter for FTP. Greg will then talk about the WebSphere Transformation Extender, running an overview, and then some walkthrough of pages from the screenshots from using the adapter in WTX. Touch briefly on debugging the adapter, and then I will come back on again to do a walkthrough of a demonstration of how to implement the sample that comes with the adapter. We'll then have the summary and briefly show some resources before going to the Q&A session. Joseph, can you please switch to slide number 3? Again, we just have a brief overview of the credentials you just heard about from Joseph earlier. I won't go into them in a great deal more depth here again, but they are in your presentation if you wanted to review. And Joseph, can you please move to slide number 4? And the key benefit we're looking for today is to help those on the call and viewing the session afterward, the recording, to understand how to configure and use the WebSphere FTP adapter in WebSphere Transformation Extender. And again, setting that up to do incoming adapter-initiated maps using the Launcher tool. Joseph, can you please move to slide 5? And Alex will pick up here to discuss the WebSphere Adapter for FTP overview and how that works with the incoming file load. Alex?
Hello, everyone. This is Alex Reyes. Welcome to our presentation. The first part of the presentation, I will be discussing the FTP adapter overview. When we look at the functions of the FTP adapter, does, you know, it creates integrated processes to manage files without knowing the protocol details. In this case, we are talking about the FTP protocol details. The brokers are WPS, WSBI, and of course, as Ken has mentioned in this presentation, it will also include WTX. And you will get more details later on from my colleagues, Greg, and also Ken. Greg will be discussing the overview on WTX, and Ken will be conducting a demo for that broker. The external dependency for the FTP adapter, the external dependency for the FTP adapter is the FTP server, and of course, the files associated with the FTP server. The adapter itself acts as a service provider in a SOA architecture to send and retrieve data, and it's also part of the module on the three brokers, WPS, WSBI, and WTX. If we move to slide number 6, please, Joseph. Continuing with the adapter overview, the adapter creates interfaces to hide the details of how the operations are obtained. The interaction is done via the adapter instead of the FTP server. The adapter also manages the user ID and passwords and the operations associated with the FTP protocol. The adapter implements reusable unit designs for inbound and outbound processing, and all this is encompassed in standard business interfaces. Slide number 7, please. In this slide, you can see the figure below that shows the scope of the brokers, and you can also include WTX broker. Inside of the broker scope, you have the application and its modules. You have the adapter FTP adapter as an interface. As an external dependency, you have the FTP server and the files associated with the FTP server. On the module itself, you have imports and exports, the project, and a unit of deployment, an IR file in this case. There are two types of processings associated with the FTP adapter. You have outbound and inbound. If we move to slide number 8, please. In this slide, we'll be talking about the processing type, and this session is tailored for FTP inbound processing. When you configure the FTP adapter for inbound, the adapter pulls the file system associated with an FTP server for events at a specific intervals. Each time a file is associated or is detected in the event directory of the FTP server, the adapter tracks this file and then it converts it to a business object. In the figure below, you can see the flow. You have the external files on the FTP server that come through the adapter and then go through the export and to the component inside the module. All of this is encompassed within the scopes of the brokers, WPS, WSB, and WTX. Slide number 9, please. Continuing with the inbound processing for the WSBI FTP adapter, the supported operation for this processing type is the emit FTP file, which is the default operation. These serve as the endpoint where the adapter sends the VOs after events are triggered by Enterprise Information Server. It's the external application itself can be further processed to get these VOs, and you can also customize this method or this operation for your specific business needs. Can we go to slide number 10, please? Next, we're going to be talking about WTX and an overview of WTX. My colleague, Greg, will take it over.
Thank you, Alex. This is Greg McCather once again. I'm with the WTX support team. I'm going to cover first a brief overview and then some basic details about WTX before we get into the specifics that are involved in using the WebSphere FTP adapter with WTX. I'll refer to it as either WebSphere Transformation Extender or WTX. One of the main definition of WTX or its main use is to be used as a universal data transformation and validation engine that allows the processing of complex data without the need to perform manual coding. We have three basic concepts within WTX, and the first is validation, which is handled through the use of metadata definitions of either a type tree or an XML schema, which are used to validate incoming data. The second concept is actual transformation, which is obviously the main purpose of WTX, and that's handled through the use of maps and mapping rules, where you define references to those type trees and XML schemas and perform mapping transformation or conversion of data from an input to an output or an output to a later output. And the third concept is routing, which, as we had defined inputs and outputs, we can also define within those inputs and outputs not only the type of data but the source and target of the data using either an adapter or a stream, which would refer to like a memory buffer that's being passed to or from a map. If we can advance on to slide 11, please. All right, so within the WebSphere Transformation Extender, we have a set of design tools. The first design tool is our primary tool that we use for both maps and type trees. It's called Design Studio. It's a Clips-based product, which can also be used as a Clips perspective within the Message Broker Toolkit or the WebSphere Integration Developer environment or tool. The primary uses for the Design Studio for WTX are for designing, importing, and editing type trees that we would define our metadata based on the type of incoming or outgoing data that we want to either validate coming in or create going out. The next concept is designing and testing maps and defining mapping rules for controlling how the data is being transformed. The next tool that I want to cover briefly is the Database Interface Designer. It's another tool we have to interact with databases, allowing us to use queries, import type trees from either queries or tables, and various database objects, including stored procedures, that allow us to control how we do the mapping based on those particular objects. Third tool is an Integration Flow Designer. Primary use is to be used with the launcher to create a system of watches or events that execute maps. Those events can be either source or time events. And the fourth tool is a resource registry, which is a tool that we've created to allow the use of aliases with values that can be overridden during runtime in different environments. For example, if we have a test in a production environment, we could have two sets of aliases that could be overridden without having to modify the actual map by just referring to a different set of aliases with different values, or actually the same set of aliases with the different values for that specific server. Will you advance on to slide 12, please? All right. Additionally, we have four primary runtime additions for WTX. The first one I want to just discuss briefly is our command server. This is a method for executing maps from a command line or from a script. It allows you to define a batch processing for executing maps with overrides. The second runtime is the WTX with Launcher, which I had mentioned earlier with Integration Flow Designer. This is our event-driven method to call maps through a system of watches. And the third method, runtime, is WTX for Integration Servers. This is our addition that we have that allows for the integration of WTX within a message broker or process server or WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus. And the fourth runtime addition that we have is our WTX for Application Programming. And this allows the use of our WTX API so that you can integrate the use of calling maps or running maps from other applications that are coded in languages such as C, C++, or Java. Will you advance on to slide 13, please? All right, so one of the basic concepts I mentioned earlier was the use of a map to do WTX transformation. And that map is configured to have one or more sources and one or more targets, which are defined as input cards for the sources and output cards for the targets. And within those cards, we're going to reference either a type tree or an XML schema, which is used to define the data. And within also in the same cards, we're going to define where we are receiving the data from as a source or where we're sending the data to as a target. And those are defined as either an adapter or a stream, and that's allowing us to determine how we want to route the data. And within the map, when you're executing the map, the first step is to validate and identify the incoming objects that are defined within the input cards of a map. And once that's completed, the next step within a map is to perform the transformation, which is defined on the output cards, or which means that you're passing data from input to output and modifying it. You can also have a concept of building data on an output and then referencing that data that's been previously built on an earlier output in a later output and modifying it further, or combining it with other data. The mapping transformation can be very simple to very complex depending on the mapping rules. You can have a simple map that just passes the data from one item to a similar item on the output, or you can combine or extract or modify the data in various different ways using a wide range of mapping functions that we have within WTX. Let's move on to slide 14, please. Okay, now we want to get into the specifics of using WebSphere FTP adapter with WTX. WebSphere FTP adapter can be used in a WTX map as the input or output within, well, as we discussed earlier, you can define adapters in the input and output cards, and this is one of those adapters that can be used. So within the, when you're defining that adapter, you're going to be using the Design Studio typically to initially configure that, and within the Design Studio, we have a WebSphere FTP adapter wizard that allows for the configuration of the adapter parameters. That adapter wizard allows what they call a command configuration to be performed. And within that, it really has four main parts. The processing direction, which is going to be either inbound or outbound. As we said earlier, we're going to primarily focus on inbound since that provides something unique for WTX, which we don't have in our native FTP adapter. And the second part that we're going to do that you can define within the wizard is the connection properties. For example, what FTP server are we connecting to, what user, what password, that type of thing. Thirdly, the operation. What kind of operation? Well, there's basically one operation that we, well, there's actually several operations that could be performed with the FTP adapter, and so you're going to define which type of operation. Are you reading data? Are you deleting data? Are you is it going to be event-driven? The next is to generate the actual command that's going to be used with the parameters that we're going to provide as overrides to the adapter. And so next, let's go into kind of seeing how this occurs. So let's go on to slide 15, please. Okay, so here is a screenshot of the Design Studio. This is the Eclipse environment I was mentioning earlier. We have a couple different views that are presented here with a couple pop-up windows on top. So on the left-hand side, this is a listing of some of the files that we use within a map. Here are some XML schemas. Under that, we have a type tree. We have a MSD system file. Type trees are MTTs, by the way. System files MSD. And then the system file that we actually execute is an MSL, which I have a listing of one here. You can also we can also import WSDL files and use those for other ways, but this specific one is used as part of the FTP adapter. And then we have the map source, which is probably the main item that you're going to see between that and the type trees and the schemas. But we've opened that map source in this example, and we currently have the FTP map source opened, and we're referencing an FTP in map. And you can see in this map we have one input card and we have one output card. You can see on that, you can see that on the lower left-hand side and also across the middle center part of the page here. And the input is called IN1, the output's called OUT1. They're both defining using a blob type, which is a single string. Obviously, this is a very simple map. We've opened up the pop-up here that opened up a window of editing that input card, because in this case we're going to be inbound, so we're going to use a source of WebSphere FTP adapter. And this is actually, like I said earlier, from our example that we have for the WebSphere FTP adapter. So in this case, you can see I just put a couple references here. You have the card name of IN1. You have a type tree of blob.mtt. And we've referenced within that type tree a blob root element. And down under the get section of the input card, we have a reference to WebSphere FTP as the adapter type or source. And then under that, we have a command which is showing the adapter parameters. And if you see to the right-hand side of that, there's a little box that has dot, dot, dot. And that's how you invoke this second screen that you see off to the right that's called Command Configuration. Within that, you have a couple choices. One is if you have a service definition file, you can reference that for the FTP adapter parameters, or you can execute the adapter wizard. And so if you choose the adapter wizard, you just click the OK, and then that invokes the adapter wizard. So I'm going to cover what happens after you press the OK, and we'll go through the adapter wizard in the next few slides. So if we go on to slide 16, please. All right, so the first thing we want to select in the adapter wizard is the processing direction, whether it be inbound or outbound. In this case, we're going to choose inbound, and then we're going to define those connection properties that I mentioned earlier. Here we have in the host name field, we need to put in the host, the FTP server that we're going to connect to. We also need to define the directory that we're going to be listening to on the FTP server, as well as a local directory that we're going to use for passing the data from the FTP adapter temporarily while processing. Obviously, we're specifying the protocol type as FTP and the port number. If you can see under the property, we've also specified a file name of star.xml, meaning that's the file we're going to be looking for within that incoming remote directory. We go on to slide 17, please. And then the next thing we need to do is define the operation. In this case, we're going to define that operation. It's going to be the FTP or emit FTP file. And I believe that's really the only choice you have at that point. You choose that for this particular type of configuration. And then the next slide will pop up will be the generate command configuration parameters. And this slide, you can actually enable tracing, specify the trace file name, and then you're going to click the Finish button to finish creating all the parameters that are going to be used within the adapter override. So let's move on to slide 18. Okay, so there are... just let me talk a little bit about the adapter parameter types, because this can be an area where it can be somewhat confusing for a WTX user that's not familiar with WebSphere FTP adapter. There are different types that are or properties that are used, and or you could also call them parameters that are used, depending on whether it's an inbound FTP or an outbound FTP processing. So for the inbound and outbound, we do have some common designations, which are they're called general properties, which are W or dash WTX colon, and then there'll be a value after that that specifies a specific property. But this initiator will kind of identify whether it's a general property or not. And then for inbound, the activation specification properties are used, and these all begin with dash AS colon. If you're working with the outbound WebSphere FTP adapter parameters, you'll see two different types there. One is the managed J2C connection factory properties, which are dash MCF colon, and the other is the interaction specification properties, which are dash IS colon. And if we move on to slide 19, we can see some examples of these. All right, so these are a little bit small. Hopefully you can see this well on the website. The one that wasn't covered is at the very top and the very first one. If you look at the upper left-hand side of the list of parameters, are dash TV. This can be either dash T or dash TV, and you can also specify the file name. There is a default file name that's used. This is the trace parameter that allows you to get additional information about the activity being performed by the FTP adapter. It's used for debugging, and we'll cover that in a little bit more detail later. But one of the things I want to point out here is as you look through these inbound WebSphere FTP adapter parameters and outbound WebSphere FTP adapter parameters, you'll see that some of them have a similar name after the colon. So you may see a dash AS colon host name under the inbound, and you may also see a dash MCF colon host name under the outbound. They're not interchangeable, as I had mentioned in the previous slide. You really have to use the inbound parameters for inbound and the outbound parameters for outbound, even though they have similar ones, you know, such as host name or a username would be another, protocol would be another, password, etc. So you'll see there are some common ones, but they are specific to inbound and outbound. And that concept, I think, is new to many of the users of WTX, because most of the other adapters that we have that are WTX-based adapters, they were designed with an adapter parameter that was interchangeable as both inbound and outbound, but in WebSphere FTP adapter, the parameters are specific to either inbound usage or outbound usage. Let's move on to slide 20. Okay, so one of the things we mentioned earlier is that when you're using the WebSphere FTP adapter for inbound processing, you're going to need to use the WTX launcher process or launcher runtime, and you're going to need to define a source event, because one of the requirements for WebSphere FTP adapter inbound processing is that you have to have a listening capability, and this is really the only runtime environment where we do listening, where we actually have a process that allows for triggering a map directly. In the other environments where we're embedded or we're at a command line, you're kicking off the map through some other means, not through a listening or trigger mechanism. So the source event is a requirement. Like I said earlier, there's also a time event process for launcher. Let me just kind of go through some of the specifics of launcher for those that aren't familiar with it. And it's an event-driven software model for linking and executing maps, meaning that you can have a series of watches defined within a system that can be either source or time event that allow you to execute a series of maps that can feed each other. The launcher itself runs as a multi-threaded service on Windows, or it could be a multi-threaded daemon process on a Unix or Linux or USS environment. The watch that I referred to can be defined, again, as either a source event, which means listening, or a listener, which has triggers, or it could be a time event, which can be defined at a specific scheduled interval to kick off a map. And that can be defined down to the seconds, minutes, hours. It can be a repeating event that occurs at a certain time interval. But anyway, that's the basic concepts of the launcher. If we go on to slide 21, please. Here is a view of the Integration Flow Designer, which is used to set up a source event for the launcher. So in this case, we want to make sure that we're defining that source event flag as on, so that when the system file is generated and deployed to the launcher, it's going to recognize that it's triggering from a particular source. Now, in the screenshot, you can see here on the right-hand side, it's a very simple system, has a single watch. In this case, it's referencing a compiled map. People that are familiar with Launcher know that you'll see either a green or a purple icon there to indicate, green indicates a compiled map, and purple would indicate a map source file. In this case, it's actually a pre-compiled map that's being referenced. It has one input, one output, as we saw in the previous examples. And you can you also see at the bottom of the little green icon in the center section where it says FTPN, there's a little eyeglasses that are on there, and that's a designation to show that a source event has been defined. If you see blank or you see a clock there, that the clock would indicate a time event. If it's blank, that means there's no event. So it's a watch with no event, which really isn't much of a watch because it can't perform any execution. So in this case, if you click on that little rectangle where the eyeglasses are, or if you choose one of the menu choices, you can pull up the launcher settings, which are the other window that's shown here on the right. Within the launcher settings, you can do various things, such as setting the map settings, adjusting map delay and other values, talk about how many concurrent instances you want to execute of this map. There's also the time event section, and there's also pending events you can control. But the main section here I wanted to point out is the section for the input that references the FTP adapter. So within this section, you can specify an override for a specific adapter, and you can also specify an override for the parameters that are being used by that adapter. And that information will be saved in the system file, the .msl file that's generated, and that will override any information that may be compiled into any map that you're using. So this will take precedence and override the compiled map information. And let's move on to slide 22. All right, so just wanted to kind of cover, if you want to try using our WebSphere FTP adapter for inbound, we do have an example and it has a few steps that are listed off in our README. And just I would probably suggest for most customers it would be wise to try getting the example working first before trying to implement this in your own environment, just so that you get familiar with the concepts that are required. In this case, we provide an example system file, which is step number one, a .msd, and that can be opened in the Integration Flow Designer. And within the Integration Flow Designer, we have an edit and more find replace option that allows you to change both the design time location and the runtime location. There's specific areas that you need to make sure are correct, such as the reference in our previous example to the compiled map. And then also there's a field called map server location, which needs to be set correctly for runtime. So that points out in the execution of a map where that file or map compiled map file is going to be located. And if that's going to be different than the environment where you're designing it, you need to make sure that's set up correctly. The step three is talking about needing to adjust the adapter parameters for the input card of the adapter. So for your FTP server, you may have to adjust the host name, username, password, and that type of thing. You can make adjustments manually to that if you'd like, and then you can try testing it out. The next step would be to build and analyze the system, which would just verify that the system is okay, there's no syntactical problems. And then you're going to generate the MSL file, the ftpn.msl file. You can generate that and have it generated in a specific directory if it's on Windows, or you may need to actually deploy that off to another system. So step six is where we're actually copying that MSL file off to the WTX install of the launcher, and there's a system subdirectory that is the default location for the system files. Of course, some of this can be configured differently depending on your specific environment, but those are the defaults which would work for most customers. And in the example, we're talking about testing this on Windows. So the launcher would be start under services as a service, and the management console can be open and used to monitor the launcher and verify that the watch is working, as well as verify that the map executes without an error. So once you have that all up and running, the next step for the example to test it out would be on your FTP server where you've defined an event directory. You need to copy a file that you wish to pick up into that directory. And at that point, what we should see happen is that step number 10, the map would execute. You would see that running through the management console, and you should be able to check the output of the map and see if there's an output file created. And so those are the basic steps of executing the example. If we go down to next slide, please, 23. Just want to cover our main debugging tool for WebSphere FTP adapter, and that is using the trace option. You can use either a -T or -TV, with that meaning trace or trace verbose. And if you use this option, if you're having any problems with the adapter whatsoever, the first thing to do would be to add the trace or trace verbose option. I typically use trace verbose because I want to see all of the information. You will get a lot more information than what I show on the screen. There are a lot of different steps that the adapter executes through. At the top, you should see some basic information that are based on the parameters you've defined, such as the event directory, local event directory, local archive directory that I've highlighted here. And then in the execution, you should see things such as the connection detected a file in a specific directory, what the file name is. You can see down near the bottom where it says the transfer was complete, and then it downloaded at the bottom here the event file into a local event directory, and it shows the local event directory and file name. So this is our main option that we want to use for debugging. And let's go on to slide 24, please. Now we want to provide you a demonstration of using the WebSphere FTP adapter for the inbound processing with a source event watch with the WTX launcher. And this is a graphic that kind of shows that, that with FTP server, we're listening on that using the FTP adapter and have a watch set up under the launcher that's going to execute a map and create an output file to write to the file system. So with that said, I want to turn over the demonstration to Ken, who's going to perform a demonstration for you and show you how this all works. Ken?
Thank you very much, Greg. Joseph, can you give me the control, and I will share my my screen here to do the demo. If someone is on the call and is able to see the demo, it was attached as part of the files that were provided to download. But if you're able to see it, we'll walk through that. I'm for anyone who's trying to follow manually, I am starting the video now. What I've done here is I've opened Western Transformation Extender Design Studio, and we're going to go ahead and just create a extender project. Just give it a sample name for the WTX FTP adapter inbound demo, and create that project. Next step here is going to be to import the sample files from the. It'll be under the Western Transformation Extender install directory, and then under examples, adapters. So, path here, and the default install is a IBM Webster Transformation Extender, here the version you're using, examples, adapters, and go ahead and hit enter so that we can open it up in the tool here and navigate. It's under the adapter settings. You'll look for Webster adapters, select the FTP in example, and click finish to import that. After importing it, you'll have the files like what Greg was showing us earlier. And under the map files, we'll see the map for the FTP in. We'll double-click on that to open it. And then once that's open, we're going to right-click on the input card and select Edit to access the adapter settings. The source here for the sample is the WebSphere FTP adapter. That command string there, directly under it, has the settings for how the adapter is going to work. I'm going to just go ahead and copy that out into a text editor so that we can look at those in a little more detail. You can see here that the command string, I pasted it and actually also threw some new lines in here before opening it. But you have the settings that Joseph was talking about, the username, the activation specification username, the event directory, and the various other settings that are needed to run the adapter. Again, the event file mask for the sample is star.xml. We will change these to work with my my local example in a minute, but first I want to show you the wizard tool that would be used to generate this kind of a setting set if you're wanting to use the wizard. The dot 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 button on the instead of the left there, to the right of the command string lets you open up the wizard tool. Select the adapter wizard. And once that comes up, we'll select the wizard adapter for FTP 7003. The advanced just shows us the target server is Webster Transformation Extender 7.0 runtime. Selecting an inbound, and we have here now the connection configuration for the adapter. Now the way the adapter works is that you specify you have to specify a host name. This would be your remote FTP server. The remote directory would be the directory name on that remote FTP server. Ideally, you would go ahead and just put the entire fully defined remote directory name there. What the adapter does then when it's running is it will pull routinely that remote directory, and when there is a file in that directory, it will pick that file off the remote directory, copy it over to the local file system, which is where we'll specify a local directory on our local local system. The file will sit there while it is being processed by the map, and once it's been processed, it will be archived, again, on the local directory. the archive settings and other settings that you might want to set are down under advanced. I'm not going to look at that at this time. Okay. So, go ahead and just throw in some garbage values here to let us move forward. Okay, we're going to select the generic FTP business object and hit finish. I'm going to do next here, actually, is what I did, so we can see the emit FTP file is what we're generating. So that's the operation we'll use with the adapter. And then to actually generate it, we just establish the file name for the file that we're wanting to generate and in the folder here. And if we wanted to specify tracing options, we could. But instead of generating this at this point, we're just going to go ahead and cancel out and use the settings from the sample. Again, looking at our sample, we have a username that we need to change for my local FTP server. I'll put in the event directory location, the host name, the password, and I'm going to go ahead and just put all these on the same line so that I can just copy and paste this whole command string back into the Design Studio tool. Copy to paste clipboard. And paste it. So I'm going to go ahead and select all so that I will overwrite and paste the new values in place. I'll go ahead and hit OK to save those into the local thing, save the changes in the environment. And now that the main reason we actually have to open the Design Studio to run the demo, I need to compile this map. The main thing we need to do here is because we actually can change that entire command string, as I'll show you in the integration flow designer, but we cannot actually compile that map, and the demo uses the compiled map rather than the source map. I'm going to open the source map or the compiled map system definition file from the environment I just created. So going into that workspace, it's under WebSphere Adapters, WSFTPN. And FTPin.msd. I'll select that and open. I'm going to right click on that, and we had said in the instructions you can just use the more find replace. I'm going to go ahead and just manually change each location so you can see the things that need to be updated with the correct path. We need to have the correct path for the executable map file, which, again, will be the workspace I just created with your adapter inbound demo under with your adapters, FGPN, and the MMC file, the compiled map file. And we'll select that. And go ahead and expand out the sources, the endpoints. And you can see the source and destination showing there now. Now we're going to edit the launcher to view the adapter parameters. And the first thing I want to change here is configure the map server location. Set it to the path of the workspace again that I created, and select again the compiled map path. Go ahead and open up the input folder. We have one input. We'll open that up. And again, you'll notice that the source event is set there to be configured to on. We do need to make sure that's set correctly. We'll go ahead and open the get. And again, like I said, make sure that source node is on, because if it's not set to on, the adapter will not be listening, and there won't be errors for it because it will be intentionally not listening. So do make sure that it's set to on. Make a few switches of on and off. Under the source, again, we can see the command string, and the command string we set here will take priority over the command string that was set in the compiled map. So just to demonstrate that, I'm going to go ahead and override the device I have here. Looks like I actually have the... And we'll copy this this string and paste it in, again, on the source command string. Up to clipboard, and we'll then paste it into the command string. That will overwrite the settings there. We'll go ahead and okay, the settings, and we'll save that, and then we will generate the system file. So to generate system, you go to system, generate. And I'm going to just go ahead and put it directly into the systems folder. So it's under the install directory for WTX systems. Save it as ftpin.msl. Now to actually start the service, you have to go to Windows Services Manager. Right-click on the IBM WebSphere Transformation Extender Launcher service. I already had it running on my environment, so I'll just go ahead and stop it and restart it so you can see what... starting looks like. Once it has started that service, you can open the Transformation Extender Management Console and be able to connect then to that running service. I need to reorganize my windows a little bit there, get it so you can see it. Okay. So now under the compound listener, the settings here, you can see the active listeners are up. There was one listener up. If that listener was down, it would indicate there was a problem. Coming over to my FTP server, I'm going to move over to the location of the incoming event folder and go ahead and generate a file here. There's the file that I created. It's still there. Still there. And it's been picked up by the adapter at this point. So at this point, that file was then picked up, moved to the local event directory, processed by the map. After being processed by the map, it is placed into the FTP archive folder. Do that one more time just so you can see the processing of that one more time there. And that completes our demo. So I will hand control back over to Joseph of the presentation for the last couple slides. And Alex will do the wrap-up on those.
Hi, Joseph. If we move to slide number 25, please. This is our summary slide, and what we aim at this presentation is that you learn about the FTP adapter functionality, the WTX adapter functionality, how to configure the WebSphere FTP server with WebSphere Transformation Extender and the WebSphere FTP adapter by the same token. And also, we had a little demo with the FTP adapter using the inbound processing. There was also some talk from Greg about how to use or how to enable the debugging so you can see any messages once you experience an issue when configuring WTX. When using the FTP adapter in WTX Broker. If we move to slide number 26, please. This is our resources. You can access any of the resources here. The first one, it relates to WebSphere FTP adapter. The next three are related to WTX, and each one of those has specific details. You can, you know, look, go to the links, and you will see the specific details for what we have highlighted over here in this slide. And slide number 27, please. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Joseph so he can wrap up our presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alex, Ken, and Greg for a great presentation. Now, before we get to the question and answer session, we would like to conduct a short poll. Questions will appear in the e-meeting, and your participation is greatly appreciated. The first question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, please choose a number that best describes what you think about the following statement. The information presented today was useful to me. The second question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, please choose a number that best describes what you think about the following statement. The material was well organized and clearly presented. Question 3. Did this call meet your training expectations? Question 4. How did you hear about today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcast? And finally, don't forget to connect with us. Be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with subject WST subscribe to get a list of mailing list and to subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that will help us improve our future webcast, please feel free to let us know as well. Thanks again for your participation. At this point in time, Stacy, we would like to open the lines for questions. And for those of you who have joined us through the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your request, press star 2. Once again, to ask your question, please press star 1. One moment, please. Mark 4, your line is open. Mark, your line is open. Please go ahead with your question.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was on mute. We at HiMark tried to incorporate the WebSphere FTP adapter when we were having issues with our with the deprecated FTP adapter, and we had issues with FTPing to a mainframe and a Stratus box. With having the directories overwritten as a variable, We don't really send to an FTP server or have an FTP directory for each FTP file. They kind of go to different directories and that kind of stuff. I didn't know with the demo, it was pretty much an FTP server to one directory. I didn't know if there was any updates to add, like, a variable you could override at runtime.
This is Ken. I know in the, for outbound requests, I believe that might be possible within the server does need to be specified ahead of time. The actual folder might be possible to be overridden, but that would be something we'd have to look into more, I think. Primarily, the way the adapters are structured to work is to have a specified a specified input directory that it's pulling from, event directory, and generally on the outbound side to have a specified outbound target folder that it's writing to.
Sure.
But we can if you wanted to send me an email, I guess it was Ken Emilio. We can look into that a little bit more for you offline and see exactly based on what your needs were, whether that would make sense or whether that's something we can done through Transformation Extender and WebSphere Adapter.
Yeah, we did work with Ken, and we work with Arun too, I believe.
Okay. Yep. Arun is on the development side for it, and I'm Ken, so we probably did work on it then. Yeah.
Okay.
If you want to send me an email, I can take a look at whether anything's changed since
okay.
we handled that issue before.
Yeah.
We can look at that again.
Because I think we had a level 3 ticket, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we were working on the other solutions with broker and stuff, so. That kind of it's not really a high priority. I was kind of just asking a general question of
mm-hmm.
where you were with it, and I actually got this webcast from Jason Yerke. I don't remember, he got an email, I guess, from you guys, and so I was just curious to see
mm-hmm.
a year later where you were at with the FTP adapter, because it was very 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 basic about a year or so ago.
The adapter itself is it's a very mature product that we use a lot with. Process server and WebSphere Enterprise Service Broker things that, as well with some of the other brokers, but the actual integration of it with WebSphere Transformation Extender has been a more recent thing, and sometimes that's why we need to look at what the functionality is of the adapter specifically and how it works with what you're doing in Transformation Extender to determine what can be overwritten and how we can do that. The integration is sometimes a little different with Transformation Extender, which is why we did this presentation.
Sure, sure. No, Jason just told me our two PMRs ended out in enhancement requests. So
okay, I can definitely check on if they have enhancement requests for those. You can definitely send me an email and I can take a look at the status of those.
Okay, great. Yeah, like I said, it's not a high priority. We're kind of looking at other options through broker, and we have an in-house product that I think we're using or incorporating. So, but I don't know if it's something that could help us
mm-hmm.
in the past. And we're already using WTX pretty much extensively with broker. So, I figured it'd just add us maybe another option.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead, send me an email on that, and we can follow up offline about the details of those enhancements and what the status was on those then.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate
sure.
you.
Sure. No problem.
At this time, I show no further questions.
Thank you, Stacy. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Alex, Ken, and Greg, for presenting today.